Are you tired of being told what to think and how to act? Well, you are not alone. In case you haven't realized it, you have an internal GPS. It knows all you need to know about how to live your life. So it's about time you stopped letting the media and the government tell you what is true for you. In fact, it is exactly that time. It's time to think for yourself. And here to make sure you're doing just that is your host, mediator, author, and lawyer, Carol Gold.
Hi, it's Sunday, May 18th. I'm Carol Gold, and welcome to Think for Yourself. In the last couple of weeks, what's garnered a lot of news is the fact that President Biden invoked executive privilege in order to prevent the video and audio recording of his interview, which was taken in 2023 by Special Counsel Robert Hur. And that special counsel's investigation was pursuant to confidential and highly secure documents that were found in the Biden home at the University of Pennsylvania. And it was an attempt to find out if the president had breached any legal restrictions in having those documents pretty much unsecured in locations where people might be able to access them. The seminal or the important part of why the president was seeking to prevent the video from being publicly aired is what I want to talk about. And I want to talk about it because as an attorney, I think there's something you need to know. And I haven't heard it on any of the news shows, on any of the commentators, on any of the podcasts. I haven't heard anyone mention it. And it's incredibly important because the response from the Democratic Party and the left to the House Special Committee that's attempting to get access to the video, the Democratic response has been this. The transcript itself of that same interview has been made public. It's been given to the committee, and people outside the committee have read it as well. And so the Democrats say, why do you need the video? You have the transcript. You know precisely what the president said. You can read it for yourself. And that this attempt to get the video and have it be publicly available is nothing more than an attempt to splice it up and edit it and ultimately to demean the president, to make him look badly as we go into campaign season. That's not the reason why the House Committee is attempting to get the video. I want to explain to you why they want the video. First of all, let's back up and look at what Special Counsel Robert Hur said in his report after taking the president's deposition. And this was in 2023. Special Counsel Robert Hur concluded that, quote, it would be difficult to convince a jury that they should convict him, meaning President Biden, by then a former president well into his 80s, of a serious felony that requires a mental state of willfulness, end quote. Robert Hur went on to say that the president's memory was significantly limited in 2023. And he said, finally, Mr. Biden would likely present himself to a jury, as he did during the interview of him, as a sympathetic, well-meaning, elderly man with a poor memory, end quote. So now let me go back to why they want the video. Every attorney knows, and the average public does not know, that when you take an appeal to a case, whether you're going to the first level of appeals, whether you're going to the federal appellate level, or whether you're going all the way to the Supreme Court, when you take an appeal of a legal matter, of a trial that has taken place, the only thing the appellate courts hear, or rather read, the only thing they get is the transcript. They only read the transcript. They don't get to see the witnesses. They don't get to feel what goes on in the courtroom. They don't get to see the witnesses' reactions in any way, shape, or form. They only get the written transcript of the trial. Only the trial judge and the jury, if there is one, only those individuals get to actually hear the witnesses. They're in the courtroom at what's called the trial of first impression, meaning at the lowest level at which the trial takes place, it's only the judge and the jury that get to hear the witnesses. And therefore, and here's the important part, and therefore, it is only the judge and jury that get to determine the credibility of the witnesses. Now, why is that? Well, it's because only the judge and jury get to see the witnesses' behavior, hear their tone of voice, know whether they seem like they're telling the truth or lying, notice whether they're nervous at certain points in their testimony, notice whether they're angry, notice whether or not they seem to be forgetful or reinventing facts as they go. The credibility of the witnesses can only be determined at the trial level. An appellate court cannot rule on the credibility of the witnesses. Therein lies the importance between being in a courtroom and hearing witnesses versus reading the transcript of the testimony later without the benefit of all of that firsthand, first impression knowledge. So why does that matter when it comes to President Biden having testified, or under oath, I presume, in an interview with Special Counsel Robert Hur? Well, here's the reason. If you read the transcript only, and let's say Special Counsel Robert Hur asks President Biden, on what date did you first take the documents to your home in Delaware? And the transcript reads, I first took the documents to my home in Delaware on January 15th, 1995. Okay, that was his answer. But if you're Robert Hur and anyone else sitting in the room, like the court reporter, taking the testimony on the day in which President Biden made that statement, maybe it looked and sounded like this. Use your imagination for what it looks like. Here's what it may have sounded like. I first took the documents to my home in Delaware, January 15th, 1995. Can you see the difference? Can you hear the difference? In one, you get to see his ability to recollect. You get to see his ability to communicate. You get to see whether he struggled or not to recall those facts, to identify what he did on what date. You don't get that in the transcript. And that is precisely why Special Counsel Robert Hur concluded what he did. He saw Biden up close and personal testify. And he said things like his memory was significantly limited. It would be difficult to convince a jury that they should convict him of a serious felony that requires a state of willfulness, meaning there are crimes that you have to have willful intent to be convicted of. Special Counsel Robert Hur is saying, no jury's going to convict this guy. He doesn't have the mental state to have willfulness. And finally, and probably most damning, is that the president would present himself to a jury exactly the same way he presented himself to Robert Hur during the interview, which was as a sympathetic, well-meaning, elderly man with a poor memory. Now, I ask you, should we really have a president that fits those descriptions? A memory that's significantly limited back in 2023? A man who couldn't put together enough mental state to commit a specific crime, and who was sympathetic, well-meaning, elderly, with a poor memory. So now you know Now you know what every lawyer knows coming out of law school, that only the judge and jury can determine the credibility or the capacity, the mental capacity of a witness, because only they see it. And that's why the Democrats and the left don't want the video out. They don't want it out because you will see President Biden in all of his cognitive limitations. You will see him struggling. You will see the slowness of his mental capacity in responding to the questions that he's asked. I wanted to clear that up first and foremost in this particular podcast, because I've heard a lot from both sides in the past, 7 or 10 days, whatever it's been, since he invoked executive privilege. And yet I haven't heard anybody share that information. Now, when you have that information, now you yourself can say, and probably will, you know what? I want to see the video too, because I have to vote. And if he really has a problem, if it's not just his alleged stuttering that causes him to screw up when he's at a mic, when it actually is cognitive incapacity or limited capacity because of age, because of Alzheimer's, because of dementia, because of whatever other medical and cognitive problems he may have, you're a voter. You're a citizen. You have the right to know that and should want to know that before you go to the polls in November. So I hope that's been helpful for you, because as I said, it upset me, it angers me, it frustrates me that that's not front and center as to why that video is so important. I'm going to segue now to a very different, I think it's a different topic. Actually, I can draw a line between the two. The second topic I want to talk about is national suicide. I want to talk about national suicide because, as many of you know who listen to me, I've talked repeatedly, different episodes, and as I have my entire life, about my own attempted suicide at age 24. And having attempted suicide and knowing the kind of mindset that leads up to it, I want to address what I perceive to be national suicide. And I say that because when I do talk about depression and suicide, I always say people who try to kill themselves don't really want to die. They've just misplaced hope. And if you misplace hope and you think that whatever is going on in your life is never going to change, and if what you're doing is suffering mentally, physically, psychologically, spiritually, whatever, why wouldn't you contemplate an exit from your body, from the pain, if you thought it would never change? But of course, change is the essence of life, and everything will change. But people who are desperate, people who have sort of given up hope, forget that their life will change. And in their suffering, they kill themselves or try to. I see us doing that as a nation. I see us doing that as a nation because so many people feel that what's going on around us is outside of our control. And being outside of our control, whether you think it's the global elite, whether you think it's the Republicans because you're a Democrat, or whether you think it's the Democrats because you're a Republican, it doesn't really matter. Whatever is causing the majority of people in this country to feel like the future may be hopeless is actually quite evil. And I wonder if that isn't the intention all along. To so overwhelm us, to so frustrate people, to have us be so physically, mentally, psychologically exhausted that we kind of give up hope. You know, tie that to the rapid pace of life due to technology, or the use of it or the misuse of it, whichever, it's a deadly combination. So I was thinking about all the things that have done this to us. The border, 10 to 14 million unvetted illegals into this country, taxes to the point and inflation to the point where people can't get by, where 47% of the people in this country are living paycheck to paycheck, the corruption we know exists in government. I'm running through these in my mind. The First Amendment free speech that's been suffocated, our right under that First Amendment, through cancel culture and through all of the ways that information is being censored and prevented from reaching us, from ignoring the Constitution, from trying to stop political opponents through the misuse of the justice system, through actual persecution, from choosing sides culturally, from riots or protests on campuses where 50% of the people involved in the pro-Palestine, free Palestine, whatever movement are not even students. They're bussed in, they're paid, they're agitators. To the moral relativism between Israel versus Hamas, where 87% of Palestinians support what Hamas did on October 7th, unaffordable medical care, corporate oversight of medical care, irreversible surgeries on young children, transgender surgery, murder of children in utero, even as far as birth. And as I said, 40% of people living paycheck to paycheck. Think about all that, right? It creates hopelessness. And I think the very fact that we are living under all of that is some form of what, if you're religious or maybe even not, people call evil. I'm reading a book called Facing the Beast, Courage, Faith, and Resistance in a New Dark Age by Naomi Wolf. And I came upon this the other day, and it's a quote from German Jewish philosopher Hannah Arendt. She wrote a lot about totalitarianism and what she called the banality of evil. And here's the quote. Evil comes from a failure to think. It defies thought as soon as thought tries to engage itself with evil and examine the premises and principles from which it originates. It is frustrated because it finds nothing there. That is the banality of evil. I think that's where we are. I think so much of what we are experiencing is kind of like that expression, you know, when you face your fears, you find out there's really nothing there except the fear itself. I think a lot of the evil that we are experiencing is empty, but it's powerful in its illusion, delusion, whatever you might want to call it. It's powerful in the image that it projects and the response that it elicits from us. So all of this overwhelm, all of this stress, all of the areas of our lives that seem so beyond our own ability to control, I think are pretty vapid. I think they're pretty vacant. I think they're pretty empty, but the facade can be very compelling. So where are we? In the quote I read from Hannah Arendt, she starts off by saying, and I'm going to repeat it, evil comes from a failure to think. A failure to think. This podcast is called Think for Yourself. I have over and over again be astonished. That's what I named it. Evil comes from the inability to think. If we look at all that's going on around us and we stop believing the narratives that we're marketed, and I can't even call it news, it's marketing. If we stop believing it, if we stop believing that the future's hopeless, and we realize that we've only misplaced it, why? Because we've been so burdened and overloaded with all of the nonsense that we've lost hope. Too many people have lost hope. We should have hope. Change is the essence of life. What's going on in this country right now will change. I don't know when, and I don't know because of what. I often say the only two things that can help us at this point are aliens, as in the ones from the sky, or divine intervention. That's kind of where we are. But guess what? Okay, maybe we'll get one or the other, or maybe there's another option I haven't thought of. But change will come. Things will get better. And the most important thing that you can do, actually the two most important things you can do for yourself, for your family, for the people you care about, for your neighbors, go all the way out to your country, to the nation. The two most important things you can do are one, retain hope. And two, think for yourself. Thanks for listening. I'm Carol Gold, and I'll be back here again. And until I am, by all means, think for yourself.
Carol thanks you for spending your valuable time with her. It is her mission to empower you to remember how smart and capable you are. Be sure to check out Carol's website, carolgold.com. That's Carol with an E, gold.com. Please leave a review and subscribe here so you'll be alerted to Carol's next podcast. Until then, above all else, remember, it's time to think for yourself.